So Lord, may you graciously help me. I'll turn your prayerful attention to the chapter that we read, Genesis 32, and taking verse 26 for our text this evening. Genesis 32, verse 26. And he said, that is, the angel, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, that's Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Genesis 32 and verse 26. Well, we were looking at the life of Jacob this morning, and how the Lord wonderfully overruled so that Laban, with all his trickery and deceitfulness, was not able to ruin Jacob. God preserved Jacob. And we looked at that beautiful statement, but God suffered him not to hurt me. But we see the care of God continuing to be with Jacob. And that's the wonderful thing of the love of God and the power of God. You know, perhaps you might have a human being, a friend, and they can help you in certain situations. They can be a great help. But then you move in a different position and they're not there anymore. And they are no longer in a position to help you. But you see, this is what is so different about the God that we serve. He's not just in England, or not just in Holland, or not just in one place and not another. He's all over. There is no place where God is not. He is able to help in things temporal and also things eternal. There is great scope of his ability. He is able to be a blessing to his people when they're being oppressed by Laban. He's able to deal with the brother Esau, a very different character again. And he is able to cause his people to know that blessing of salvation, the salvation that he alone can do, the wonders God alone can do. And Jacob is now going to have some more encounters with God. He's going to learn more of his dependence upon God. He's going to go back to trying to scheme and trying to find his own way to appease Esau. And yet ultimately he's going to come back to this, that he's got to get right with God. And that's a great thing in our pathways, that when we recognise and when God brings us to that point where our greatest, whatever trouble we're coming into and whatever impossibility is in front of us, that we recognise the greatest impossibility and the greatest important thing above the most important thing that you might think is coming up in your timetable is to be right with God. And this is what Jacob recognized and Jacob was brought into at this time of great need. So we just have Jacob coming away from Laban, meeting God's hosts, that encouragement that he had. And then he sends messengers to Esau, his brother, the brother that vowed that he would kill Jacob when his father was dead. Well, his father was not yet dead, but he vowed that he would kill Jacob. And now he sends to him a message to try and see whether in those 20 years he's somewhat cooled down from his ambition of revenge against Jacob. And he sends a message. And the messengers go there and they come back. And there isn't one single word of reply from Esau. And the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. No word. Nothing other than I'm coming with 400 men to meet you. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. all the goodness that God had done to him, all the preserving that God had helped him and in giving him prosperity in Haran now, everything seemed in the balance. Everything seemed as if everything that he had and been prospered with now was threatened with extinction, threatened with death. His brother, he could only think that he would come with 400 men for one purpose, and that would be to, in vengeance and in anger and in retribution. And so first of all, Jacob splits his company into two bands. But then in verse 9, we have a beautiful prayer of Jacob. And this is something for us to think about in our when we come into distresses. How did Jacob pray? You look at this prayer. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country, to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. You see, he goes back and he pleads what God has said. It's not what he had said, it's what God had said. He pleads the promise. He pleads what God has said. And we are to plead the promises. Thou hast said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is what thou hast said. You plead it. You plead it. Because this is what God has said he will do. And one said, I think the Puritans made this comment, and God is jealous of his own handwriting. As when he sees that, as it were, you're quoting what he has said, then that is precious to him. And you see, he is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? And shall he not bring it to pass? Well, Jacob pleads what God has said, and then recognizes something in verse 10 about himself. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies. It's the opposite of what we would say today. To present yourself in the best colours. To present your case that you're a worthy person to support. If you were trying to get a letter to support somebody, you'd say how good you were and how suitable you were to be supported. Do you see, the nature of grace is to realise our emptiness and our barrenness. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth that thou hast showed unto thy servant. This is Jacob. This is a picture of God's people. Their unworthiness, they feel it. They plead it. They confess it. They confess their unworthiness, which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan. I came over Jordan possessing one thing, and that was my staff in my hand. And now he's got all this great company, this his wives, his children, his cattle, so many goods. And he recognises that this is God's mercy to him. And he recognises also that he's unworthy of that. You see, we all God's people live upon the bounty of God. But then he comes with the crux of his prayer. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. It was a real fear for Jacob, understandably so. Would Esau wipe them out? He vowed he would earlier, 20 years earlier. Would he actually now do it? He came with enough men to easily do that. Jacob was no match militarily to him. But then he pleads again in verse 12, and thou hast said, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. He pleads what God has said. God that came to him at Bethel, that said, I will be with thee. This God then is, he's pleading that. And that's what we need to do. When the impossibilities come, when it seems that we're very soon going to be wiped out, we need to plead what God has said. the promises of God. And that's why God's word is so precious. Because God's word shall stand when heaven and earth shall pass away. But my word shall not pass away. The word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Well then, Jacob sends these many droves of cattle and goods to give a present to his brother Esau to try and appease his wrath. But then we read in verse 24, he got his two wives and his women servants to go across the brook, and then he was left alone. In verse 24 of chapter 32, and Jacob was left alone. Alone. With a thought of tomorrow, there will be Esau coming. And what would he do? To think of all his children, his wives, his cattle, all to be butchered, it would seem. And Jacob was left alone. And then there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And we know from also in Hosea, it talks about this. About him having power with God. So we see that it's many have believed that this was not just any angel, but it was actually a pre-incarnation of the Son of God before he was born at Bethlehem. That this was the mediator wrestling with Jacob. And he saw that he prevailed not against him. And he touched the hollow of his thigh. So here we have Jacob wounded in this wrestling match. And we know that earlier on, that from the records, that Jacob was a strong man. We know when he first came to visit the land of Haran, and Rachel came out with the flocks. Rachel said she cannot water the flocks until all the shepherds be get together. And then there was many men, they could roll the stone from the mouth of the well, and they could give the cattle drink. But we read that Jacob came and rolled the stone away, all on his own. Normally it took many people. Jacob was a strong man. But you see, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So he wounded Jacob. You think, but here Jacob has got his brother coming towards him. He's got all this in front of him. The last thing he wants is to be now wounded. You see, the Lord was breaking Jacob so that he could have to cling to Christ. His only hope then would be on Christ. He was breaking Jacob down from his own self-confidence, his own scheming, his own ways, to hang wholly on Christ. And Jacob was wrestling with this pre-incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the words of our text. And he said, that is the angel of the covenant said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Jacob was clinging to him. He wouldn't let him go. Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. You see, the blessing of God was so important to Jacob. He needed God's blessing. He had this impossibility in front of him, but he needed to get right with God. He needed to know that blessing himself. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? the angel asks Jacob what his name was. Now, God never asks anything because he doesn't know the answer. He asks to get us to confess the answer. And here, you know, when Isaac, some years earlier, 20 years earlier, had said, whose voice is it? He said, Esau's. He lied. But here you see, he gives the truth. And he said, Jacob. What does Jacob mean? A supplanter, a deceiver. You see, Jacob has to acknowledge who he is. That he is a sinner. That he is in need of God's mercy. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hath prevailed. You see, here we have this change of name. Jacob, in this wrestling, seeks the blessing and obtains the blessing. And therefore his name is changed to, as a prince, hast thou power with God. Not, but he's weaker than he ever was. His thigh is out of joint. His sinew is shrunk. He's now a man, and we read later on, he went halting upon his thigh. He was now a somewhat of an invalid. How are we going to go on day by day walking in the Christian path? It won't be walking in our own strength. It will be as we understand our brokenness and yet leaning upon our beloved, leaning upon him. And you see, as he went, as Jacob went forth, halting upon his thigh, leaning upon his beloved, he was so much stronger than he was before the encounter. Esau, that one he feared so much, he ended up kissing him. There was no fighting whatsoever. There was peace between Jacob and Esau. He received him with kindness. But it was all because, you see, what the Lord had done. The Lord had weakened Jacob. And as we wrestle in prayer with the Lord for the blessing, he breaks his people down so they come to the end of themselves, so that they seek him. See, God breaks his people in mercy. He broke Jacob for his good, so that he had a prince, he had power with God and with men, and has prevailed. He was now going to be victorious. He was going to not have to fear his brother Esau. Brother Esau was now going to be reconciled to him, that one he feared so much. The death that he thought that he was just about to enter into was now over. And the Lord had blessed him. But he'd wounded him with it. Wounded his strength. He weakens our strength in the way, so that we may go on leaning upon our beloved. You see, God's people are not to be a strong people in and of themselves. They're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not strong because they're strong themselves. No. You see, but this wrestling that took place at this Peniel, the place where God met Jacob, God met him and dealt with him and brought him down. And you see, a wrestling is hard work. And often wrestling, I understand, doesn't take place for too long because it's so hard work. You get so tired so quick. But here, they're wrestling all night, weakening Jacob's strength. Jacob coming to the end of his own strength, so that he may lay hold on Christ, lay hold on this one, this mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God breaks his people, but in mercy. But I want to turn our minds to another that was wrestling in the Garden of Gethsemane. Our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Wrestling in the garden. But you see, it was not possible. For Jacob there was deliverance. For Jacob, yes, there was a wound. He was wounded, but in love and mercy. But Christ, you see, he paid the ultimate price. He was broken in justice. Christ bore the curse for his people, not himself. Jacob had been a supplanter. Jacob was a sinner. But the Lord Jesus was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate than sinners. And yet he was in that great wrestling in the Garden of Gethsemane that brought forth drops, as it were, sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Christ was crushed, but not spared. He was not spared. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But there's silence. There's no reply from heaven. It was not possible. It was not possible that there would be any other way that the church could be set free, but that Christ would go through this way. For none of the ransomed ever knew the depths of the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night the Lord went through, or he found his sheep that was lost. You see, this is the price, the cost, this wrestling. Jacob wrestled and prevailed, but it was only because the Lord Jesus, slain from before the foundation of the world, in one sense, Gethsemane hadn't taken place yet, and yet in the mind of God it was so certain that the effects of Calvary, the effects of Gethsemane were shadowed forwards, retrospectively, so that Jacob could receive the blessing on what Christ had done. And we see that in the word of God, the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Well, we know in the time of the Bible when it did take place, in the fullness of time, something like 2,000 years ago. But in another sense, it was always in the mind of God that this would happen. The certainty of it, the effect of it, the preciousness of what would happen. And you see, so there would be a blessing. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go. Importunity in prayer. Wrestling in prayer. Except thou bless me. Jacob recognized that the blessing of God is what he needed. It was not an optional extra. It was absolutely necessary. May we come to God in prayer in that way. Recognize we must obtain the blessing. You see, there are those times when God is pleased with the importunity of his people. You think of those two on the road to Emmaus. They met, the Lord Jesus met with them, and he traveled with them and talked about all those things concerning himself on the road to Emmaus. But when they got to Emmaus, what did he do? He made as if he would have gone further. He made as if he was not stopping at Emmaus. He was walking further on. And what do we read? Well, they could have said, well, you know, you're welcome to stay with us, but if you need to go on your journey, you go on your journey. We're easy either way. No, they didn't say that. They constrained him and said, abide with us There was an importunity. And what a blessing they received from that importunity. They were not neutral. That Syrophoenician woman, she would not give up. Oh, she had many discouragements. It's not meat to give the children's food and to cast it to dogs. Truth, Lord. But dogs eat from the things that fall from the master's table. She was importunate. She would not take no for an answer. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou desirest. Jacob was wounded, but not destroyed. Christ was crushed at Calvary, wasn't he? He was not spared. Oh, he was not spared. So when we, as believers, we wrestle with fatherly chastening and chastisement, but never condemnation. This was not to ruin Jacob. This was to mature Jacob's faith, to make him as a shock of corn ripe for the harvest, to make him all that he needed to be. You see, Jacob was wounded that he might live leaning upon grace, upon the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may go on, not Jacob in his own strength, but Israel, a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which would take that name Israel, the Israel of God, the people of God, the church of God, the Israel of God, those who have the faith of Abraham, those not necessarily of the genetic line of Abraham, but they that have the faith of Abraham, the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you see, then there was a change of name. And we read in Philippians, you see, that with our Lord Jesus, in one sense, there was a change of name. If you look at Philippians 2, verse 8, it says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Oh, foreshadowing what happened in Jacob's life was pointing forward to a greater wrestling. A greater wrestling where Christ would be not spared, but offered as a substitute for his people. You see, Jacob was blessed. Yes, he was wounded. But it was wounded in love for his good, that he might walk leaning upon his beloved, that he may not walk in his own strength anymore. And you see, God's people are not to walk in our own strength. Paul said that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the knowledge may be of, that the excellency may be of God and not of us. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Jacob could say that. He would have been much stronger naturally if he hadn't have had his joint of his thigh out of place, wouldn't it? He would have much better, "If only I could walk normally, I wouldn't have to hobble." But God is saying, "Jacob, you leaning upon me, hobbling along with me, you're so much stronger. Now you can face Esau." Esau was no trouble to Jacob at all. There was no fight. There was nothing. It was resolved. And how God can go before his people as they lean upon him, to trust him, Not to be scheming and planning their own way, but to be trusting that the God that has said those exceeding great and precious promises, I will do thee good. And I will, in thee shall all the nation, the families of the earth will be blessed. Those great, exceeding great and precious promises. Jacob, they're going to come to pass because I am your God. And I have dealt with your greater problem than Esau. The problem of your sin. The problem of your separation from God. By nature, you see, Jacob was one, as all God's people are, of those that are, as the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And yet Jacob was one that knew something, knew much of the mercy of God in Christ. Knew that there was a way back to God. There was a place of refuge in that mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Jacob wanted a blessing. But how was that blessing going to come? It was going to come, you see, through a means which was very expensive. A means which, if we read in Zechariah, smite the shepherd. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my equal. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. That's how it was going to be. That's how he was going to be blessed, because somebody else was cursed. You see, every time we're blessed, oh, we like to be blessed, don't we? But every time we're blessed, it's because somebody else was cursed. The curse that we should have borne has gone somewhere else. Where has it gone? It's gone to Calvary. We read in that beautiful part in Colossians, taking that handwriting that was written against us. Let me just read out. Colossians 2 verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. That's what Christ did. He gained the victory, but he gained it by substitution. He gained it by settling the debt. He didn't gain it by sidestepping the law. He gained it by keeping the law. He gained it by satisfying the law. He gained it by giving a total obedience to his people. But obedience that wasn't theirs, that was his, so that they should be clothed in a garment, not their own. And so Jacob knew this blessing. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Right on early in Jacob's life, before Bethel, he had that desire and a realization God had given him of the value of the birthright, the value of these blessings in Christ Jesus. And yet, it was some time before the Lord revealed that preciousness to him, met him at Bethel. Led him all those 20 years in Haran, when it seemed that Laban was able to have a free hand in oppressing him. But ultimately God put his hand on so he was never able to ultimately hurt Jacob. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And God was using those difficult things to work together for Jacob's good, that he may be able to be a blessing in that very line of Christ, and to be able to be a true pilgrim of Zion. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. In our pathways, in our troubles, in our concerns, may we come to this. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, how shall he not freely give us all things? The logic of Romans 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God was for Jacob, Esau's a pushover. If God is with us, then our greatest enemies are simple. The lion can become a lamb because God has gone before his people. He satisfied the anger of God's righteous law. And he's satisfied all the requirements. And so when we think of that, it is finished at Calvary. It is finished. Satisfied. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them that were in Christ Jesus. Jacob felt that correction. He was being corrected and being moulded and being... He was knowing that chastening in Laban's house. And yet the Lord was doing it in love to make Jacob, to give him that sanctification that went with his justification, to make him ready and right for eternity. You see, if we just had justification and no sanctification, we wouldn't be looking for heaven. We wouldn't be prepared for heaven. We wouldn't be heavenly minded if we weren't sanctified. So we would get to heaven and it wouldn't mean anything to us. We wouldn't love holiness. But as God sanctifies his people and shows them the emptiness of themselves and makes Christ more precious, then you see they love holiness and they look forward to heaven, to be with Christ, which is far better. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Amen.